following story is related. The author of the Sefer Levushei Sarog, the Davidite suit, one of the great Gedolim of the 18th century, was presented with the following sight. It appeared that the Mizrachman was always a highly prized place in Shul, and a number of prominent Balabatim paid money in order to sit at that particular place. And of course, the one who sat nearest to the chazan, that was the most prized place. As happens with most successful synagogues, they decided to expand. And part of the expansion was that they were able now to add one or two seats where there had been none before, between where these people had been sitting and the Ohel Kodesh. And the Gaboyim decided that they were going to sell off these particular seats. The gentleman who was sitting next to the chazan before the extension, he insisted that he is entitled to sit there, because since he had been sitting near as the chazan originally, no one is allowed to change his particular place vis-a-vis the Ohel Kodesh of the chazan. The Gaboyim of the shul, they insisted that the gentleman is sitting where he used to sit, and the two places that are the one place that is being gathered on is something which wasn't there before, and since relative to the people who sat with him before, his position has not changed, so he should be satisfied and keep quiet. So the cross is silent to the Dovid Aishu. The Dovid Aishu, as one would have imagined, to the consult of the Shulchan Aruch. If it's a Knesset, he says it's portion. He says it's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi reads as follows. Tono Rabu Shaya. Rabu Shaya learns as follows. Yud, Shemitah Misoro Imenu. The Yud was taken away from Soro. She was originally called Sorai. Her name was changed, and now she has a hay instead of a yud. So the yud that was taken from Sorai, all up in the start of the Pneakodesh Baruch Hu, went in front of the Almighty with a complaint. The Yomaran said, Mibrona Rolomi, Master of the Universe, Akartani min Hatzadekis Hazar, you've removed me from the name of this righteous lady. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu said, say not, don't bother me. Lishya Omar, originally, for ye saw Nossam B'Shem Nekeva, who was so Nekeva. Originally, you were part of a woman's name when you were only at the end of the name. Chayetho Shani, no Senecho B'Shem, Zohar V'Rosh Teva. By your life, I am now going to put you in with a man's name, and you're going to be at the beginning. What was it? By Yikro Moshe, Lehoshea Binun, Yehoshua. The Yud that comes from Sorai has now been put under Hoshea's name, and it is Yehoshua. According to the Chassam Sofer, incidentally, that is why it is Yehoshua Binun. Usually when it's a Solomon, it should be Ben. But since it's the Yud that got taken away from Sorai, which had no vowels, and we had to put Yehoshua, so we had to take two of the dots from Ben, and it became B. It became nothing first. Anyway, enough of the word. Hello, as they say. So, that's what happened. The Yud came from Sorai to Yehoshua. Says the Levushei Sarog, why didn't the hay object in Hosea? I used to be first. Now I'm second. The Talmud doesn't record that the hay objected. So what do we see? Since the position of the hay vis-a-vis not altered. The fact of the new letter comes along is of no halachic consequence whatsoever. By the same token, said to the Mushek the Lord, if a new place is established where one was not previously, as long as the place of the remaining people remains as it was, vis-à-vis each other, they have no time to look something to do that. I think it's, well, I don't need to tell you, this is some way to learn parts of Shabbat. Something very, very good. Since we're on hors d'oeuvre, let's have an answer. Let me give you an idea again as to how these rabbis learned. The beginning of the parsha. And if we're going to get to the main course, which is substantial, but just to show you how these rabbis, they hung on every word. Also, Gimel, by Yitzhak of some Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu sent them, he made far for on from the wilderness of Poron, as we Hashem, by the mouth of Hashem, Kulom and Roshim. Right? They were all outstanding men, Roshay v'nei Yisroei v'heimah. Says Rashi, Kulom and Roshim. Right? Kol and Roshim shebenikro, Roshim chashimus. Every time the word Anoshim is mentioned in Torah, it is an expression of importance. But that seems to have been enough. But Rashi does not content himself with that. Rashi says, the Otsa Shoah Yishelem Hoyu. And in that hour, they were good people. Despite. What did Rashi want with the Otsa Shoah Yishelem Hoyu? The Bible Chorim said the following when he was a young boy and learned this Rashi. We see in our parsha Yom Lishona, for every day that the spies sinned in spying out the land, Jews were destined to spend 1 year in the wilderness. 40 days, 40 years. However, says the Bible, it's not 40 complete years, because we went out on the 14th of Nisan from Israel, and on the 10th of Nisan, we crossed the Jordan. But 4 days taken away from the 40th. Rashi said at the beginning of the volume that even had we not sinned with the spies, it would have taken us 11 days to get to Eretz Israel on the Pesach Achanos for Yom Echorei. So with 11 and 4 is 15, that it would have taken us less than the 40 years. So for the 15 days, there is no element of punishment, because those 15 days, seemingly, we would have had to take away from those 40 years. 40 years is 480 months. 40 days is 960 hours. So for every hour that the Moraisim sinned, we were destined to spend a half a chodesh in the midpoint. But since it was a half a chodesh that we spent less than 40 years, therefore for 1 hour all must have been left. The Yosef or Shoah was shameful. It must have been an hour that all was well, because it's 40 years less half a month. And the calculation is for every 2 hours, you have a month. That's the calculation. 960 hours for 480 months. So that would be the outer shot to share. All right. They mentioned one or two sources as they be our Parfaroid Rukhman. What we want to look at this evening, and hoping we'll have the opportunity to do so as fully as I would like to, I want to introduce this evening most probably one of the greatest of all our biblical commentators and greatest of all our thinkers, and that is the Maharal of Prague. Maharal of Prague lived, according to certain historians, a bit of a problem, he lived somewhere between 97 and 107 years. So the rabbinate agrees with some people. It's a long time. He didn't become chief rabbi in Prague, it was in his 80s. A very, very extraordinary person. Of course, far as the goyim is concerned, over to Golem, to Prague, etc., a friend of Yehud Braher, the famous astronomer, friend of Edward, etc. But I want to bring him because he is quite unique, very special. His approach is extraordinary and combined, as we will see, and I think there's a classic example this evening, a sensitivity to the language with an understanding of the themes which is all his own. So what we look at this evening is David Ketball, Port of Lavender. Not the norm. The episode is of a Kodesh 8-6. The individual who was caught being a Chalil Shabbat and was eventually sentenced to death by Moshe Rabbeinu and the court. So the episode begins as follows. David gets called Fossil Lamedei. And the Jewish people were in the wilderness. By him, too, and they discovered each a man, the Koshesheim, which would translate as gathering wood, the Yom HaShavot of the Shabbat day. Rashi. By Yehu Vene Yisrael, by Mibor, by him, too, Rashi, speaking to Son Shem Yisrael, the Mel HaKotu. The Pasuk is speaking about the disgrace of the Jewish people. Shalom Shomru El HaShabbat Nishona, that they only kept one Shabbat, Uvashaniyo, and on the second Shabbat, all there, this man came, the Shilalah, and desecrated. That is suggesting that these opening words are to indicate that the Jewish people kept one Shabbat, and the second Shabbat, this particular person came and was Mechallel Shabbat. What we do now is, first of all, we open our Gur Aryeh, and we discover exactly how it is that Rashi saw this in these words. But it's on the line, and it's quite easy to find. So the Gur Aryeh explains Rashi, how did Rashi know that this was the interpretation of the Pasuk? Because if it were not this interpreted, why did the Torah need to introduce the entire episode by saying, and the Jewish people were in the wilderness? Of course we know they were in the wilderness. So therefore, says the Maharal, since the information appears to be superfluous, Rashi was of the opinion that Eloliach Magino, it comes to teach us these words, Sheviyad Shevo Bamidbar, that as soon as they came to the wilderness, all there, this gentleman came, the Shabbat Sheni on the second Shabbat, the Shilem Es HaShabbat. In other words, Rashi says to Gur Aryeh, and here he agrees with all of the four Tehranim, Rashi understands the word, Vayihiyu V'nei Yisrael Vavibor, to mean, no sooner were the Jewish people in the wilderness, than this gentleman came with the Chalat. Now, from here on, it's complete Mahara. So far, we know what puzzles Rashi. Namely, why say by you when they used to have before? And Rashi explains that it comes to tell us no sooner were they in the wilderness than the Jewish people, unfortunately, were not capable of keeping Shabbat. One of their number came and desecrated the second one. Right? They kept one, and the second one was there. Says the Maharal, the Yim Tomar, and if you will say to me, the Shabbat Rishon Ahoya, maybe it was the first Shabbat. I mean, that's by Yehuva, they used to have by Rebor, and the Jewish people were in the wilderness, if it's to be taken as, no sooner were they there, well, what's better than Why? Because the bad eye which shone on the Ohio, most definitely it was not the first, neither the seal, because the apostle says, by Yisroom Mekoshesh Beyom HaShavah, they found this gentleman gathering wood on a day which is described as Yom HaShavah. Velo Nikro Yom HaShavah, and the only time that day enjoy the title of Yom HaShavah is Elohim Kvar Shavatum Bo. From the moment that the day was kept as Shabbat by the Jewish people, that is the first time that it enjoyed the title of Yom HaShavah. Up to then, it wasn't known as Shabbat at all. Yom HaShavah is a title given to the seventh day only after the Jewish people had actually rested on that day. Now, he's going to prove it. But notice, even in by your Elohim, by Yom HaShmiyi, by your Shvot, by Yom HaShmiyi, by your Moreh Elohim, Yom HaShmiyi, he does not enjoy the day Shabbat unless the Jewish people have actually observed it as a Shabbat, and from then on it's not a Yom HaShabbat. Then the Maharal, if so, is by you, but they used to end up before means no sooner where they in the wilderness. But you can't say it was the first week that they were given the laws of Shabbat, because then the prophet would not have said, by Yisroish Mekoshesh Eitim, the Yom HaShabbat. It would have been by Yisroish Mekoshesh Eitim, by Yom HaShabbat. I can go further. He explains the Altei Nikro Yom HaShavah, Al Shei Shei Yisroel Shomashimo, because the day is called Shabbos, because Jews rest on that day. The Eve Shabbos is Shomahoyo, and had we been speaking about the first Shabbos, the Yadayelo Shomashimo, and they had as yet not celebrated it as a Shabbos, Lo Hoyo Nikro Yom HaShavah, he would not have referred to it as Yom HaShavah. The Tzedorachot, and you should know that this is true, says the Maharal, because in the Shabbos Nishono, you remember the Shabbos Nishono, when they were told not to go out to collect them on? Were you where? There's Al-Yezayish Yimekomo, and then it says, Vayehi Vayom HaShiviyi Yotsuru Om, or Yotsuru Yinoam. It was on the Yom HaShavi'i that they went out to collect. But it doesn't say by Yehiba Yom HaShavah that they went out to collect. And furthermore, it says by Yishbetsu by Yom HaShavi'i. And the people rested on the seventh day, but didn't call it Yom HaShavah yet. It was an Yadayim Lom Shabbatu. Since they have as yet not celebrated it as a Shabbat, Lo Nikro Yom HaShavah. And here again, what a wonderful insight. He does not enjoy the title Yom HaShavah until the day Yisroel have celebrated it as a Shabbat. Up until that time, it's called Yom HaShavah. It's not entitled to be called Yom HaShavah as yet. So therefore, it cannot be that you're speaking about the first Shabbat when this occurred, because then it would not have been by Yisroel negotiation to be Yom HaShavah. It would have been by Yisroel negotiation for Yom HaShavah. Furthermore, another reason why we can suggest it was not the first Shabbat to Yod, and furthermore, if it's Shabbat for Yishon Kisir, does it not say in regards to the first Shabbat in Barshas Mishalach, by Yishpetsu by Yom HaShavah, they had arrested? Oh, in came for Shabbatu, for the Lechilu. If the Potter says that the Shabbat Taka by Yishpetsu, or by Yom HaShavah, that they had arrested, so it can't be talking another reason why it can't be talking about the first Shabbat, because it says quite clearly that they observed it by Yishpetsu, or by Yom HaShavah. The Yimkain, therefore, bearing both these considerations in mind, Al Korcher, no Hoya, the Shabbat, the Shonah, Shum Chilu. That's Akka. Now, we have a question. We are going to suggest that we cannot be speaking about the first day, the first Shabbat, count? On that day when they were told not to go out and collect the loan, the double horses on Friday are going to go out and gather, we are told that people actually went out to collect. Marsh, marsh, yes, you know what that sounds? Oh, maybe from there we can prove that people were going to hell and shall people on the first one. And yet Matthew is saying that it was only on the second Shabbos that they were Mechalel. Whereas it would appear that Rashi is flying in the face of a simple proverb which tells us that Jewish people went out to collect them all on Shabbos when they were not supposed to. So why does Rashi say here that it was the second Shabbos that went where the Jewish Shabbos was not in the first? Who prepared it called Yisrael Omina? And our Kasha on Rashi is further strengthened by the fact that it says, "In Moed Shomru Yisrael Shabbos Nishomna," had Israel kept one Shabbos, no shots of a hem whom of a lawstone, no nation would ever have prevailed against them. So according to Chazal, we didn't even keep one. And yet Rashi says, Shabbos number one was fine. The problem arose in Shabbos number two. It seems to be contradicted, A, by the fact that it says in the Pasuk, Yatzeu Ha'omim Kot, that the people went out to collect mom and went out maybe outside the school Shabbos, or however they profane Shabbos. And number two, Rashi seems to be going against the Chazal. Chazal are telling us that had Israel kept one Shabbos, our history would have been different. And yet Rashi says, no, Shabbos number one was fine. The problem started in Shabbos number two. Now look at the way the Maharal resolves this. In Kei Mukhoch, the Shabbos is sharing the Nami, their shoulders, from which it would appear that they never kept the, even the first Shabbos. So why did Rashi say it was only the second Shabbos when it arose? And here again, the sensitivity of the language. Mira Lomar, I would like to explain it as follows. The Hobbikomar, when the Chazal tell us in Gemara Shabbos, in Moed Shomru Shabbos Nishona, had Israel kept one Shabbos? Says the Maharal, no, the Lord. In Moed Shomru Shabbos Nishona. So the Maharal says, Lo Irish Shomru Bechiru Et HaShabbos. That doesn't mean that they were Mechalel Shabbos. It means that they were not shown their Shabbos. So you'll say to me, what's the difference between a lack of Shmirah and a Shmirah? He said, fortunately, in Hoyu Mechalel Yerosha, because had there been Chilul Shabbos on that first Shabbos, for Yerosha Rabbeinu Dono Stom Bisekilo, Moses would have sentenced people to death. Like he did to the coach. What the Maharal is leading up to is as follows. In order to qualify for the type of Mechalel Shabbos, a person has to have desecrated Shabbos under circumstances where he is deserving to be put to death, i.e., witnesses and fools. Aiden and Hatzor. How do I know? We tend to be Mechalel Shabbos. He comes to Mechalel Shabbos. He doesn't wake up the boat. Says Maharal, no. And Mechalel Shabbos that we are speaking about in terms of Chazal is a person who desecrates Shabbos under circumstances where he is deserving to be put to death. How do I know, says the Maharal? Because the prophet says, Mechalel, those few months, he who is Mechalel Shabbos has to be put to death. So therefore, says the Maharal, on that occasion when people went out to collect, they didn't do it having been forewarned and with witnesses. But on the other hand, even though it's not Chilul Shabbos, you can't say that they were Shomer Shabbos, because Shomer Shabbos means to strictly adhere to the laws concerning Shabbos. So once you don't adhere strictly to the laws of Shabbat, you're not called a Shomer Shabbat anymore. from that college Shabbos, you have to have desecrated the Shabbos with witnesses and being forewarned. Therefore, when Rashi says, and we kept, study, Rashi says we kept the first Shabbos, it was the second one where there was real Shabbos. That means, on the second Shabbos, there was a profanation of Shabbos on the circumstances which led to tequila, the stoning. That does not mean that there was an absolute perfect observance of Shabbos in the previous week. All it means is that whatever happened in the previous week was under circumstances which would not lead to tequila. Let's go back again to the mark. Here the mark. It appears to me. The whole thing of what is all in Shabbos Shabbos is shown off. No, I is Shabbos Shabbos with the Shabbos. It doesn't mean on the first Shabbos that they were Mechalin it. If all you Mechalin them also, because had they been Mechalin Shabbos, all you must have been done out of the tequila. Moses would have judged those people with their penalty. Elohim for Reo Pilates, but what does it mean? It means Shere Shabbos also. They didn't keep it correctly. Or the Malay Negro, their heroes. That's not called heroes. There's a vast distinction between being called a person who is not a Shabbos and a person who is a Chalal Shabbos. And when there is a death penalty for that violation, then the individual is called a Mechalal Shabbos. That is why only in connection with the second Shabbos does Rashi say that his words are so carefully chosen to fall there the Chilalah. On the second Shabbos, this individual came, and he was Mechalek. Not that he wanted to show their Shabbos. He was Mechalek, because it is him, and I know that Chilul has to do with he and Mitzah, because the apostle says, Mechalek le'om ho'tzuron. And I go further than Maharal. He is okay, and if you don't accept my interpretation, Yipshelech, or you'll have a problem. Lo, lo, hoyo, don, osom, Moshe Rabbeinu, one of our sons, osom, Yechilinu, Shabbos, Mishona. If in fact those people who went out to collect them all, why did Moshe Rabbeinu not call them to the Beit Din, like he called them at Kodesh? The answer is, because those people who went out to collect didn't do it for Yechilinu, perhaps, at all. Therefore, what they are called is people who are not Shomer Shabbos. But on the second Shabbos, we had something even more severe. Not only that an individual was not particular about the laws of Shabbos, but also that he desecrated them under conditions which brought about the death penalty, and that's called Bozem Eskilelo. Therefore, Elo Shalohoyo Shum Chiyav Nisa. Over there, there was no Chiyav Nisa. Shalohoyo Shom Hatzor, because there was no forewarning. The ain't can chilul, and the term chilul is only used, the mazes, the hatzor, is a kathir, the chalaleha, most of us, who the peak of Omar Shabbos Neos. That's why Rashi had to say it was the second Shabbos where it was. Let's just review very quickly. As far as Maharal is concerned, by Yubilei Yisrael, by Midbar, means the Jewish people had no law, had no sooner arrived in the Midbar, than there was Chilul Shabbos. Then, the Maharal, why can you not say it was the first Shabbos? So you get a number of replies. Either because the first Shabbos is not entitled to the term Biyona Shabbos, because not until Jews have celebrated is it entitled to be called on the second Shabbos, Biyona Shabbos, and here it says, by you Jewish negotiate the Biyona Shabbos. Or, because it says by Yitzhak Pesu on Bayom Rashi, that there was no Chilul Shabbos on the first Shabbos, because it says by Yitzhak Pesu, they had to observe it. I will say to thee, says Maharal, but is there not a Chazal which indicates that had we kept the first Shabbos, all would have been well, which seems to imply that the first one we didn't keep. Furthermore, does it not say in the Shabbos that on the first Shabbos people went out to collect them all? Says Maharal, but it's a distinction to be drawn between not observing the Shabbos, Ilmole Shomru, and desecrating the Shabbos from the circumstances which brings about the death penalty, which is called Chilul. So therefore we've got that sharp distinction. Again, you see the nuance in language between Chilul and Ishamiro, an absence of Shamiro. The same way there's a distinction between Shabbos and Mayomai. Now, Maharal how he moved off again. I just say you'll find it in none of the other reports in that. The Maharal now has a problem. Because, as you know, even though the law concerning not going out on Shabbos to collect the alms was given when they arrived in the wilderness, but you know that we have a tradition that Shabbos was given to us long before we came to that place in the wilderness. Shabbos was given to us in Morah. Right? Shabbos was given to us in Morah. So seemingly, this throws the whole thing into confusion. Because, as he will show you in a moment, Post was proved that the Shabbos that we were given in Morah was at least 2 weeks before the whole episode of the Shabbos of the Mon. If that is so, then we did keep 2 Shabbos. So what's all the problem with that? And Rashi says, no, we were in the wilderness. The second one was no good, because after the first one had problems, says the Maharal. But we have a tradition, and Rashi brings it. We're talking on Rashi. Rashi brings it on the word Shom Somlo, Chokum is for the Shom Nisho, that Shabbos is given to the Jewish people in the Torah, which was a couple of weeks before what we're speaking about. Says the Maharaj. The Yachal Gav did the Torah in Kinu al Shabbos. Ah, you'll say to me, we were given the laws of Shabbos in Morah. And we know that that was at least 2 weeks prior to the Shabbos of the Mon. The impain is that it's so. Oh, your Yosef showed him in our Shabbos Achas. Did they not keep more than 1 Shabbos? They kept the first 2 that were given in Morah already. So he says that. I can say to you like this, Peter Day, it could very well be that Rashi is going according to Mandy Omer, the authority, who says the Peter Rabbi Akiva, that Apalgazi is Peter the Morava, at the Shum, at the Chufim, love is Peter, who the Kapra, Nikra, Shabbat, the Shemah, Shiva, the Lui, Peter, Akol, Amish. Says the Maharal, I could answer you in 2 ways. One way I would say, that there are authorities who are of the opinion that even though we were given most of the laws of Shabbos in Morah, but there were certain laws that we were not given until that first Shabbos of the month, namely, the prohibition against going outside the room. So therefore, according to that particular man, the Yomar, we will be able to answer our question simply. In Morah, we were as yet not given the complete laws of Shabbos. So therefore, when it says that if we would have kept 1 Shabbos, but on the 2nd Shabbos, somebody was mechalel, it's speaking about the 2nd of those Shabbosos where we were in already in possession of all the laws. That's what it is. And then he goes on to say, "I, the Akilu Laman, the Yomer, the Akilu Gamkin, I would say to me that there is another man, the younger, who says that even in Morah we were commanded all the laws of Shabbos. Here now comes pure undiluted Maharaj. Nira, says the Maharaj, let me explain it to you in my own way, and then we tell you. Says the Maharaj, there is a man, the younger, who says that in Morah we were given all the laws of Shabbos. If we were given all the laws of Shabbos, and we know, according to Tosfos, that everybody agrees that that Shabbos of Morah was at least 2 weeks before the first Shabbos of the month, and there's no indication in the Torah text that he didn't keep those 2 Shabbos, so seemingly they have kept 2. Says the Maharal of Tosfos. Where do we know that the Jewish people were given Shabbos of Morah? In the text in the Nothing. That Shom Dom Lo, Kod Mishpat, the Shom Mishpat. And the rabbis interpret from those words that were given Shom. Says Maharal, look at his mind at work. Says Maharal, if that is to be interpreted as a total Shabbos, then we are forced to conclude that it is on the level of Kod Shabbat Peh. Because the word Shabbos in Morah, was not at the end of it. Again, I ask. If we are to accept that we are dealing in Morah with the Torah Shabbos, are forced to conclude that what we are speaking about is a Shabbos of Torah Shabbal test. 2 weeks later, the long Alpha, when we may collect moments, when we may not, the word Shabbos appears for the first time in the written text. If that is so, if we are speaking about a Torah Shabbos tomorrow, the Torah Shabbat Teh Shabbat has preceded the Torah Shabbat Teh Shabbat. And that's the time that, because Torah Shabbat Teh is the interpretation of Torah Shabbat. And therefore, if the order is to be in any way, it has to be first to the Shabbat, followed by the Torah Shabbat. So, says the Maharaj, if they were given Shabbat in Morah, we cannot assume that the Shabbos that they were given in Morah had the stencil of Torah. What was it? It was the Shabbos with a koach of Nevuah. And it is a major distinction. Because we have many laws which are handed down to us by the Levian, but they do not have the authority of Torah. Consequently, even if we are to assume that the Bnei Yisrael were given all the laws of Shabbat and Morah, they were only given them as Divrei Nevuah. And what Rashi is speaking about is not as the Jewish people kept two Shabbat, all would be well. We are speaking about a Shabbat of Torah, a Torah Shabbat. And therefore Rashi is saying that the Jewish people only kept one Torah Shabbat. And that was the Shabbos which was given to them by the Mon, because that is where the word Shabbos appears for the first time in Torah. Therefore, that Shabbos was the first Torah Shabbos. The Shabbos was preceded, it could not have been Torah Shabbos, because there would have been on the guard of Torah Shabbos there, who cannot defeat Torah Shabbos. And therefore, they were only on the guard of the Ruach. And therefore, Chazal would say, Ilu Shalom Bnei Yisrael Shabbos Chazal, Ein Kolum V'Losh Misholenes Bahem, had the Jewish people observed one Shabbos, all would have been well with them in their history. It's referring to a Shabbos on the Gargoyle of Torah. When Rashi says, in Parshas Shelach Lecha, that no sooner were they in the wilderness than somebody came with the challah, the second one, it means he was the challah of the second Torah Shabbos. And what were we given in Morah? We were given in Morah a Shabbat on the Darga of Mesua, but not on the Darga. Let us follow it. He says as follows. Second line, it was the Apilu Laman the Yom and the Apilu Gam Kena Ketumim. And even though they were, it is a man the Yom who says that they were commanded concerning Ketumim, the boundaries beyond which one may not go on Shabbat, they were commanded those also in Morah. Nearly, it appears to me, notice this word, even the Lokotel Batorah Shabbos Shamorah, since the word Shabbos does not appear in Morah, that all it says is Shom Som Lokotel Mishpot Bisham Nisol. Since it does not appear in the Torah text in Morah, Lo Havei Zeh Bichlal Torah Shenitam Yisroel. Therefore, that Shabbos is not included in the Torah that was given to Israel at that time. Hilo hoyozer rak kamo sha'ar ha-mitzlum, shenitam kodem shekivlu ha-torah, kamo sha'ar mitzlum b'nei Noah. If it does not appear in the Torah text, and since, if therefore if it were to be a Torah Shabbos, it would be on the level of Torah Shabbos there, which cannot be seen Torah Shabbos. We are forced to conclude that the Shabbos in Morah was on the same level as all other Shabbos which were given to the Bnei Yisrael before they came to Har Sinai. Who the Pelech Dalet Bishnah, and in the Pelech Dalet Bishnah in Sanhedrin, it says there, follow carefully. Ezer mitzvot mitzavu Yisrael b'morah. Ten commandments were given to Israel in Morah. Sheva Shekibu Aleim B'nei Noah, the seven mitzvot B'nei Noah, Hoshifu Aleim, and added on to them in Morah were Shabbos, Dinim, and Kibbutz Avurim. just hand it on to them. So you can see, says the Maharaj, that the Shabbat given to them in Mora is not a Torah. Just add an addition to the Shabbat in Plano, which is on the same Torah law as Shabbat in Plano. I'll say to you, Mr. Omar, since the words used are from Sifu Aleim, they were added on, Shemavidah, we can see from this, She'inyun HaMitzvah She'etzavu Mora, that the commandments which they were commanded in Mora, Nishvotom, their strength and authority, is to Moshe HaMitzvah Sibbele Noah, the no next of them is Rav Shabbos Shekotu Batorah, and therefore it is not called a Torah Shabbos. V'achil, and he goes on to explain what the difference is. The here of faith is another major statement of the Maharaj. Maharal is telling you, you know why you can ignore the two Shabbos of Mora? Because those two Shabbos are not what Chazal is talking about. They're not talking about keeping Shabbos a new term. They're talking about keeping a Shabbos which has the stempel of Torah. Had we kept one, all would have been well. And Rashi who says the second one was desecrated, both of these Ma'amorim ignoring the Shabbos in Mora, we are to conclude from this system, Maharal, there is no contradiction. What we are saying is that the Shabbos that was commanded in Mora was the Shabbos of a heavenly dimension. But since it is only conveyed in the text by allusion, it cannot be a Torah Shabbos, and therefore can only be a Shabbos of a lower level of authority. Right.
That was the comment, so that's MMB 98Y.
Well, Mora, we're about to say, this is Maharaj. And as you can see, there is a wealth of information, a wealth of insight. In this one simple Rashi, we are being introduced to a number of idiomas. And let me tell you something more. And this is something which is not, if you're not looking for it, it's not obvious. According to the Maharaj, when did the Torah Shabbos start? It started on the first Shabbos when they were told not to go out and collect the money. That's when the Torah Shabbos started. The two Shabbos that preceded are Shabbos Midivrei Nevuah, or, as we call it, something like the Shabbos Midivrei Nevuah. But you will say to me, what do you mean? We have a Torah Shabbos starting before Matan Torah. Surely Torah only started before Matan Torah. What's this Torah Shabbos business? It is obvious, according to the Maharal, that Torah began as soon as the mitzvot mentioned in Torah appear in the text. Kiddush HaKodesh appears in the text. HaKodesh HaZelokem. Shehi mitzvah nishona, the Rashi. Shehi mitzvah nishona in the Sabbath of Yisrael. It's the first mitzvah.
You'll say to me, that's the first mitzvah. But they don't become mitzvah until Karsi Nash. No, sir.
And I'll tell you something more. If you look in Rashi at the end of Pei, if you'd have a mitzvah most, you'll see there that it ends up, Hu Aharonu Moshe. And it says, by Yadavar Hashem, El Moshe V'El Aharon, V'Yeresh Mitzrayim Lemor, in Kiddush HaKodesh, it says that HaKodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe down, like Rashi, why is HaKodesh Baruch Hu speaking to Aharon? So Rashi answered, because in Aharon was involved in the prayer to serve together with Moshe, or Rashi had a question. What they're doing in Torah with Kiddush HaKodesh. How you say to me, they are more in Matthew, and that's what we're given on the name. Tayyag Mitzvos Nistabli is for the Sinai. Meaning that it all started with Sinai, and that's the Rambam. The answer is, if you look there in Gomorrah, Matthew, and Chav Gimel of the Bay, you will see that many people don't have the text for Sinai. All it says is that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us 613 commandments, but doesn't say where they started. And according to Maharal, and according to the way he learned Shakir Rashi, it actually started from Kiddush HaKodesh. That was the first mitzvah of Torah. And that is why the Shabbos after the Mon is the Shabbos of Torah, well before
Matanto, a very, very big thing. Many people are not aware of it. There is a map notice between Rashi and Rambam as to exactly when Matantola started. According to the Rambam, Matantola started on Har Sinai, and according to Rashi, Matantola started in Mitzrayim, with Jiddish Atodish, which is the first thing. Very, very important. So we've had a word or two then about this particular map. Let me just draw your attention to something very, very good. We've left out Jasro, we haven't spoken too much about the Meraglim. I agree, Maharal is Maharal is heavy, whatever. But this is what Kumish is all about. The tragedy is that people think that all there is to train is just on Sino translation. That's what we're trying to uncover here. We're trying to find out what's going on, what's the difference between not being Shomer, being a Hallel, what's the Shabbos of Mora, which is only meant by illusion, what's the Shabbos in the text? And these are all the nuances that make Sora. Otherwise, it's just a pious history. Something more. There's a layer upon layer. Let's have a look. Let's go back to the Murat. I'm going to bring another time, because a lot of things we haven't said this evening, but Yitzhak Shem, Yom Rishon, one day a year we'll get around. You Dalit Yud. I mean, I appreciate that everyone will be sitting around over a Friday night. Now, what happened? The Meraglim say it's terrible, what a terrible land, we haven't got a hope. And then, Bayas Kolei, that's already in page, you Gimel Potted Lamb. Look out to the back. Bayas Kolei. Okay, that's Bayas is Rashi, is on the matter page. Bayas is the Jewish equivalent of Shush. The Kolei says, Narod, Nishnemes, all is well, the trust and echo is horrible, all will turn out well. And all of a sudden, in Possum God, Yehoshua starts talking. Bayomaru, and they stay together. You know, Howard of the Shiva Barnabal of Surah Sotovars, Leo. If I call this word, want to give this, don't prevent against Hashem, all will be well. Is Bayomaru, Kolo Edo, what's it you, and you're going to come to our name? To stone them. If you're a time, I could have. If you're in the stoning business, why didn't you stone Kolev as soon as he opened his mouth? And he said exactly what they said. The two of them said together. Kolev said, listen here, all will be well. First in that head. Says the Yorachayim Akkod. Sorry, Vidaye, we have to ask. Lo, near Yeshu. Why were the 10 bad spies not upset? The man or he should show Omar Kolev. When Kolev first opened his mouth and said, no, alone now there we are actually what saw. He are called Luke and a woman able for them. Why did the bad spies not raise a word against Kolev then? It appears to me, said the Yorachayim HaKodesh, why did they not say a word? He said, give them Kolev no cautious. They weren't worried about Kolev. You know why? Lefisha Devorah Betelem Yatzmon She'ein Eitus Yochid No Menes Megavi Eitus Rabi. Because they know that in a court of Jewish law, one witness who is opposed by 10 doesn't have a hope. So why should they get excited? Stop it, Mishra, why should you get excited? Why should they get excited over one person? They got 10 against him. All is well. Dichtiv al pi beis eidu yochum dorbal. Then a fortune in the world. Ah, why are they getting excited now? Now that Yehoshua and Kalev start to speak together, now the Meraglim are in trouble. She didn't base Adam, she didn't mail Adam, because the din is straight and mail. Two witnesses in a Jewish court who are contradicted by 1,000. It's stalemate, because two is as valuable as it. So once Kalev and Yehoshua start speaking together, even though they are opposed by 10, the aid of Shakura, that's a balance, even aid. The aid can't aid, but no shall Meraglim, but no shall Yehoshua, the Kolev,
Bevor ze daar dingen maken, hoor je kouden, je nul gaan bedanken, dat zij kostelen hen die onder de kom. So they never got excited when Polly spoke, but they got excited when Yahushua and Polly speak together, because now that they are two, they pose a great threat, because Jewish law is trained to make a two is like a hundred. But now that they are a fact of it, so if two is like a hundred, the wife of the negative said, believe the ten, as opposed to the two. Because in the Jewish court of law, two have got the same status as 2,000 and 2 million. Because you're a time of God. But sorry if you're dying, now we have to ask. Long ago, his skin alone do not take us to the Atura. The Hakshish Dibri Hova Sora, the Dibri Habe, even Shindine, the two, straight to Mayor, or Mayor Hitler. Now, so you're a time of God, another catcher. If two is like 100, which is the reason why they started getting excited about the stone them, so why did the believers then automatically believe the 10? Why didn't they believe, or believe no more 10 on one side, two on the other? Send me. The dear time ago, the Yeshua Shadonah be Yehoshua, who taught to the Aegis, a Meshon of Gael and Moshe, Yehoya Meshonas of Mibapolis. They most probably said the dear time ago, it's decided that Yehoshua's testimony was he was very, very friendly with Moshe Rabbeinu. He was his disciple for many years, and therefore would be very, very anxious not to open. I'll tell you something better. In last week's Sedra, when Eldad and Medad were prophesying, Akasha, the Orathamagos, he could have said better. He should have explained to me. Because it said last week, Eldad and Medad, Miss Nabi Bamachna, they were prophesying in the camp. What were they prophesying? Moshe Mace. Yahushua Machnis Laoretz, John Moses is going to die, and Joshua is going to lead us into the land. That's the reason that why they didn't want to believe Joshua. Because Joshua was happy to prompt them to go into exile, because it was a capital slapper. But then he's going to be a leader. Here he's just one of the proletariat. It could very well be that that's another reason why they decided not to believe Yahushua. But Mordechai Gifter says very magnificent. Why did they believe the 10 and not believe the 2? Or more correctly, leave it in the same way. Without governing. In the Nesivos HaMishpot, on Choshen Mishpot, the Nesivos says as follows. When do we say the cloud? Something worth remembering. When do we say the cloud of Trey Kameo? Two are as valued and as authoritative in Jewish law as 20, as 200 and 2,000. When there is a contradiction in the fact. Two people say he killed him, 2,000 say he didn't kill him, or vice versa, say that. Says the Nesivos HaMishpot, but if the Machlokis is not in the fact, all agree on the fact. The difference between the 10 and the 2 is how do you assess the fact? How do you analyze the fact? Then it's actually happened. You follow the nature. Here they were all saying, absolutely, we're all grasshoppers. They're giants. They're living in fortified cities. Under normal circumstances, it would be impossible. So on the facts, there is no disagreement. Hello, I. Yahushua in college says, I know it looks difficult, but Baruch Hashem, we have a Rabbeinu Shlomo, all will be well. We have looked it over, and there's no problem. The 10 spies said, we've looked it over, and it is a problem. So when it comes to a question of assessing and analyzing the facts, then we don't say things. But my friends, I want to end off with a little bit of a personal thing. Something which I'm sure you will add. Two people say all is well, we're well able. 10 people say no. Gatenish. And as they say in Yiddish, as it's Gatenish, Gatenish. No good. Nope. I've had times the Jews have disagreed with each other. What's happening here? As soon as they hear Yehoshua and Kalev are disputing their assessment, they want to kill them. Oh, he and Nisa here, my friend. They're going most of the world. They want to stone them to death. because they didn't agree with them. That's why you stone people. You don't give them fleshy, but you don't stone them. Okay, fine. I'll give him Sikhet when he learns his lesson. What's this stone? There's no more stone, I want it. The truth of the matter is, my friends, we are in the presence of a major insult. The Jewish people, those 10 spies, like so many of the B'nai Yisroel, the truth is they wanted to go back. They grew up there. They were used to it. We need this new business that we have to send an immigration. What do we need that for? What do we need that for? So they said, that was the truth. And the truth can be seen from the fact that at every moment they want to go back. Now the 10 spies come along and they say, you know what? The truth is, and we know this, we're as a proud woman as everybody else. But the evidence is, as much as we'd love to go, but it's not us. We're grasshoppers, 4 to 5, 6. You don't even know what they got to do. Kuntz again, Yehoshua and Kaleh, even say, listen here, friend. The evidence is that you don't want to go. But the evidence is that I know that. So why don't you call us faith today and admit that you don't want to go because you're going to go? Even though like the Jews, because people like to live in some false reality. But the evidence is we'd love to do it. Oh, what have it gone? I lied to faith. It's not so easy nowadays. I don't need to tell you. And not another few hundred miles to go in the desert. So Yeshua and Kaleh said, no, sir. All is well. If you don't want to go, why don't you tell the air why you don't want to go? Don't say because the land is bad. Say you don't want to go because you're prepared to go back to this night. But we're just passing this place to drop in. Ah, no, that's so therefore, people are so sensitive when it comes to people telling what the real reality is. If they're going, my son, that anger ganging in the gear, he wouldn't. He said, I can't forgive you for telling you this. And that's what it's all about. Additionally, that's why you're going on some of our volume. The problem was not that they stood and said, Lucas, whether we're able or whether we're not able. The fact is, they said we're not able, and that's the reason why we're not going. And your true father says the reason why you're not going is because you never wanted to go in the first place. Because you want to go back to Mitzrayim, you were told there, you had your training. Why don't you tell the alien why you don't want to go? And they hear that approach. They're a little flush, and they have to be talking about. We have a lot to learn from them tonight. Many times have been in life, there's many things we live ourselves in a false paradise. Things we don't do because we have convinced ourselves that it's not possible. Truth of the matter is, on more than one occasion, the reason why we don't do them is because we don't want to do them. Not because it's impossible, but because it is we have really no dedication to these things. And let me just conclude with a famous thought from the Mayor Shapiro, just coming in with us. But it's here with us. The prophet says, and we wear in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so we wear in their eyes. This is a Meir Shapir. The insight to take away from the center. This is a Meir Shapir. You know why the Goyim have no esteem for the Jew? Because the Jew many times has got no esteem for him. The type of respect that the Goyim have for Yiddishkeit is directly proportional to the respect that he didn't have for Yiddishkeit. If we were like grasshoppers in our own in the Chenayina Vienna, then we were like grasshoppers in there. Because the way they look on us is the way we look on them. And that is the sad. Many people think that when they will go over, and they will do everything that the Goyim do, that the Goyim will respect them more. It is not true. The Goyim respect them less. They sit and eat with them, but they laugh at them behind their back, because they see here our people. And I remember, I will close with this.
I remember on one occasion, I will never forget it as long as I live, that unfortunately we had no Jewish secondary school. I went to it, and the prophet must be such a great afternoon. No Wesley College anyway, you never get on my job. And we had a little mathematics teacher. He was a prophet. I'll invite him over for milk and apple at these people, that's a say that. Anyway, Mr. McDowell. So I came in late on elevator and we're going. So Mr. McDowell says to me, Bernstein, where we are late? I said, yes, I went to the synagogue. He says to me, you went to the synagogue? He says, but your festival is not for tomorrow. I said, yes, and I went to my synagogue. But today is a special day. All firstborn go to the synagogue. And we finish off a volume of the Talmud, etc. He used to juggle around with his chalk in his hand. He turned it out to, well, I'll mention his name. He says to him, another Jewish boy, says, are you a firstborn? He says, yes, I'm a firstborn. He says, well, he says, why were you not in synagogue this morning like that? So he says, well, I don't believe it. Never forget. Thou who picked up this, whatever it was, maybe a master. And he says to me, what are you without your religion? What would I be without my religion? Hey, you to be in a hand. We think that they will love us more the more we start on our Yiddish day. The truth of the matter is, they don't love us anymore. They detest us. Because what we have, they know the value of. And we ourselves don't know. That's the test. We leave over.